Welcome to Investor Talk Radio, hosted by Kurt Davis. During the show, Kurt will share tips and strategies as well as guest interviews on how you can become a successful real estate investor. Kurt Davis was a former chef for 11 years until one day had the opportunity to take a leap of faith, left cooking, and became a full-time real estate investor. Kurt has been building his personal portfolio of rental property and at the same time has helped over 500 investors around the globe purchase cash-flowing rental properties. He is a licensed realtor who has achieved multi-million dollar club status, and he is also very active in the local real estate investment club. And now, here is your host, Kurt Davis.
Welcome to Investor Talk Radio. I am your host, Kurt Davis. And today, joining me is Alex Craig, owner and founder of CB Property Management, which is a local Memphis property management company that he and his wife own and operate. Welcome, Alex.
I appreciate it, Kurt. Thank you for having me on the show.
Excellent. Now, listen, we're just going to kind of get right into it. How did you get started in real estate investing?
Well, you know, me and my wife were watching shows back in 2006, 2007, flip this house, flip this, flip that, flip everything. We thought, man, this is a great way to make a lot of money. Let's flip some houses and put it for retail. So we did that. In 2007, we went out and bought a home in Curryville, Tennessee, right outside my corporate job office at the time. And we were going to flip it. And we had this great plan of making big money. And then at that time, actually, personal situation had happened, and I needed to find a place for my father to live. So we just transitioned him right into this house we were going to flip for retail, and it turned into our first rental property. And we got a loan on it, and we really found out how easy it was. And then I started going to groups like the Memphis Investor Group and talking to other individuals in the business, and learned that income-producing property is something that you need to have. So we just, you know, met a local banker here, got some loans, and next thing you know, we had 10 Fannie Mae loans on our properties, and you know, that's how we kind of got started in the in a nutshell.
At right now, how many properties do you and your wife currently own?
I've got 14 right now. Those are 14 that we're holding for the long term with mortgages on it. We've got some short-term holdings too, but right now we've got 14 and looking to add probably 3 to 4 more this year.
Excellent, excellent. Now, tell us a little bit about your transition from coming from corporate America to becoming a full-time business owner.
Well, you know, and I'll go to a little more detail than you're asking, but one day we just hired this guy to be the vice president of marketing for the company that I work for. It was a worldwide company. I was actually making a really good salary there. And I walked into his office one day. He had a piece of paper on his desk that said, "How did I make this company money today?" And I thought that was, you know, I thought to myself, that was, you know, really profound for me of how I got out of the corporate world, because I thought, you know, we're working really hard, and what did we do to make this other company money? And I thought, well, why are we working so hard to make this company money? Shouldn't we be working hard to make myself money? So that was something that really sort of kind of made my eyes open that, you know, we're working really hard for somebody else when I could be working really hard for myself. So anyways, we bought some income-producing properties, and you know, we've started selling properties too to other investors. And you know, I just got to a point in my life where I was comfortable leaving the corporate world. I had a number in my head that I wanted to have in my bank account for reserves. Obviously, I had to go out and buy health insurance. So I wanted to have some regular income coming in, and we were able to achieve that through income-producing properties, the property management company, and through selling to other investors.
So like what a lot of people are trying to do, you were kind of in that same scenario. You were a corporate employee working full-time. You owned a few rental properties. You're trying to flip a few here and there. And you got to a point where you were able to say, hey, now is the time for me to kind of walk away from corporate America and become a full-time investor.
Absolutely.
Were you scared and nervous?
Actually, no, because we'd gotten to a point where we had developed the business quite a long ways, where the management company was producing some income, and I couldn't have done it without my wife. If I would have done it without my wife, yeah, I'd have been real nervous. But while I was working in the corporate job, she was actually building the business, and I was fortunate too. I had a job where I worked from home. My boss lived in Phoenix, Arizona. I didn't have to go to the office every day, so I was able to be involved in the real estate business a lot. But it came to a point one day where I had all the benchmarks that I needed. I felt comfortable with where the business was going, and I just actually, the day that I left the corporate world was probably one of the most liberating, happiest days of my life. And I could not imagine going back and sitting in a meeting again. It would just it would just drive me. I think I'd jump off a building first.
I know the feeling. When I used to be in, you know, corporate America, I did something a little different. And, you know, the thought of actually having to go back just kind of makes my stomach turn.
Yeah.
Now, kind of getting into the main point of our talk here, I know that you own several businesses, but one of them is CB Property Management. Tell us a little bit about your management company.
Well, we manage properties all over the city of Memphis. 95% of our investors or clients are individuals from out of state, so very heavy built on properties that we've already sold. And, you know, that's the important part of what we do on the investor side. So, I mean, it's your basic property management company. We do some things differently that I think puts us a step ahead of our competition. But it's a tough job, and it's not cut out for everybody.
How many years have you had your management company?
Well, we started – the first property we ever sold to another investor was 2008, if I'm not mistaken. And it started off just like that. We never thought to be a management company. We sold to individuals out in California, sold the property, and they said, hey, can you manage it for us? I was like, why not? One property, we could do that. And the next thing you know, we sold two and three, and it was up to 10 or 15. And I thought to myself, well, we're getting into the business, so we need to figure out how to do this as best possible, be efficient, and if we're going to do it, my competitive streak in me wants to be the best. So, that's just started, figuring out how to do it. And, 6 years later, we've turned it into kind of a well-oiled machine.
How many homes would you say that you're managing about right now?
I think it's 300. Last time I looked, it was around 260, and that was at the end of December. We've added a few, and then plus we've acquired quite a few that we're getting ready to sell. So let's just say by the end of February, we're going to be at 300 properties.
That's excellent. Now, a lot of people, when they're interviewing management companies, they always want to know about fees and things like that. Can you maybe just touch a little on, what your fees are like? Like, for example, what's the monthly management fee, your tenant placement fee, how are fees for repairs handled, things like that? And, one thing a lot of people want to know is, do you provide any guarantees to your investor?
Well, as a property manager, we don't offer any guarantees. I mean, we guarantee that we're going to screen all of our tenants and we're going to underwrite them, and that we'll place tenants based on our underwriting guidelines. So I'll guarantee that I'll work very hard for them and do an excellent job. About our fees, we got two fee structures. We've got the fees for our investors that we sell property to. So if I sell you a property, you get the monthly rate of 8%. If you come to me and say, hey, look, my last property manager is not any good, and they bring that management property to us, we will charge 9%. We charge a 15% maintenance markup. So if we get a bill for $50, you're going to get charged, $57.50. And our tenant placement fee is 75% of the first month's rent. But let me touch on that 15% maintenance fee, because a lot of individuals think that's, I've heard, well, that's kind of high. And I'm like, well, it's not really. I mean, there's got to be some sort of markup, because we do carry workers' comp and general liability insurance, which is very important for everybody involved. If some accident were to happen and you were the investor owner and there was a lawsuit that came involved, you want as much insurance in your property management company as you possibly can. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, if something happens to somebody inside their house, everybody's getting sued. No matter if you're in an LLC or not, I'm getting sued, the investor's getting sued, anybody that stepped foot in the house. I mean, a lawyer is going to sue anybody and see what sticks. So if we've got that insurance, that's a big deal. So we charge 15%, but we've got a full-time individual that his job is to work with all our vendors and beat them down on pricing. And we've gotten rid of vendors before that we thought were gouging us. So, that's part of that 15% is beating down our vendors to get the best competitive price.
Absolutely. And I can tell you from my experience, I've got several management companies that manage for me. And a lot of the management companies I see are charging anywhere in the 8 to 10% monthly fees, and anywhere in the half the first month's rent to a full first month's rent for placement fees. So it kind of sounds like your fees are very, very competitive with what's going on in the current market. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. The most important fee, if I'm an investor or a homeowner that wants to rent out his property, the number one fee I want to pay attention to is the monthly fee, because that's the one, no matter what, vacant maintenance or no, that you have that's deducted from your rent collection every month. And we've actually done the math on it. If you've got an 8% fee with a 15% maintenance, that's still cheaper than 10% monthly fee with zero maintenance. And then the other thing I want to touch on real quick is it's a tenant placement fee of 75% of the first month's rent. And I was at a real estate conference last month, and somebody brought up a really good question, and I had a really good answer for it, was, doesn't it seem like the property manager charging a tenant placement fee, that's not a fee that's really in the best interest and in line with the same goals that the investor owner? Anyway, what he was saying is, if you're placing a tenant every 6 months to a year, you're coming out ahead because you're charging this placement fee. And it seems like it's counterproductive or counterintuitive to what a investor, like, you know, just think, well, you know, you're going to make money and we're not. Well, here's the simple answer to that is, when we have a vacant home, property management makes our company 8 or 9% of zero, and that's not very profitable. And then we've got to pay leasing agents and marketing fees to re-rent the house out. We do a lot better when the property stays rented. And when those properties go vacant, there's no guarantee that it's going to get rented in 30 or 60 days, even though most of the times it does. But there's a lot of work and manpower and office hours that goes into a vacant property. So we don't actually come out ahead because we charge a placement fee, but it does cover our cost of having leasing agents and marketing. But we do best. I mean, in an ideal world, I'd rent out a house and it would never go vacant. And that's how a property management company becomes most profitable.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Now, what would you say are some of the key aspects to operating an effective management company?
Well, you know, that's a good question. There's so many of them.
I know that there's not just one aspect, but you know, just, you know, some of the few things that have made your business successful.
Well, you've got to have a good staff. I mean, you got to have somebody to answer the phone. I mean, that's the first thing. In our business, there's two sides of the business. There's the investor side, and then there is the tenant side. And so in our office, we've got two individuals for both of those. And I've found that to be very effective of customer service of both sides of our business. So having a staff on the inside has been very important. And where I think we've done the best over the past 4 months is when we made the investment to hire a outside project manager. And he is the eyes and ears of everything that goes on out there. I mean, he comes in the office about 7:30 in the morning, and then I see him when I leave around 6 o'clock at night. He's out in the field every day. I mean, of course, he's doing some of our rehab work, but he goes around when a tenant moves in. If there's a problem, they're not happy with something, we send him out. And, I mean, that's probably been the single biggest thing that I've seen improvements just from an operations side of a property management company. Now, there's several things on a marketing, but, you know, maybe we could talk about that later.
Sure, absolutely. Do you, as a company, management company, do you guys ever refuse to manage property in certain zip codes or neighborhoods? Like, for example, I would assume that you're not going to sell a property to a client that you're not going to manage. So this would be a scenario where an outside investor comes to you and says, hey, I've got a property in this area and I would like you to manage it. Do you take any property, or are you kind of picky on what you're going to do?
I wouldn't say we're picky. Am I going to take any property? Absolutely not. That's just not – you can't be everything. You know, when you decide – whatever business you decide to get in, you got to figure out what your business is, what part you want to focus on, and what you want to be good at. And we made a decision about 3 years ago that we didn't want to get into the low-income stuff. That's not what we do. That's not what we're going to be good at. If you're going to be a property manager of a low-income property, that's what you do.
Now, what do you mean by low-income? Because maybe the out-of-state investor thinks low-income is different than what you think.
Okay, so let's use Fraser in Memphis, 38127. The rent's for $695 a month. That's a little higher. We call that a C-class property, and it's just a little higher risk, more management intensive. And that's just not what we do. I mean, it's, you know, if you've got those types of properties, you want to go to a property manager. That's all they do. That's what they specialize in, because there is a different management technique and style that goes along with some of those low-income properties, C-class. It's just the tenants are a little bit more unstable. They handle their differences with, you know, they're always adversarial. That's what we found out, and that's why we got away from it. You know, just one day I got sick of all the rudeness of them calling in, and everything was a crisis. So there's just a different style of management. So we don't go after that. Plus, I made the decision to, I never want to go into areas that I feel like I've always got to look over my shoulder. And if I feel like I've got to walk up to the door with a gun, then I don't want to be there. So,
good rules to live by.
Yeah. You know, I've got two little girls and I got a wife, and I don't need that drama.
What would you say about the current status of the Memphis rental market? What are you seeing happening with rents? You know, a lot of investors, will call me every 6 months and say, hey, are rents dropping or are rents going up? What do you kind of see happening?
All right. Well, you know, on the low end, even though we're not involved in that, I talk to other property managers. That's always the same. Those rents stay pretty constant, and it's always a circus in that space. On our space, where the average rent for is probably $850 to $900, and of course, we manage several properties over $1,000 a month, we're seeing those rents go up and stay stable. You know, they're not going down. So in some areas, they're staying a little bit stable. They're staying stable, and in some areas, we're seeing them going up. In the suburbs, I definitely see the rents going up. Bartlett, Lakeland, and Arlington, we're getting exactly what we ask for. You know, hedge funds have come in and saturated the market. So we've made a decision on our rent readies and even some of the properties that we sell that we do a few little upgrades that make our properties stand out. So, I guess I'm somewhat surprised at the market being a little bit saturated, that it's not taking houses a little bit longer to rent. But our houses are a little bit nicer, and they're renting quick. So even though there's a little bit more inventory, we've done some things on the marketing side and stuff on the rehab side that I think really gives our properties an edge, and we're getting our properties rented quickly.
What should investors use as percentages for, say, vacancy factor? Or does that vary depending on, you know, the area or the quality of the home? I know a lot of investors have their own set. You know, some say they want to calculate vacancy at anywhere between 5% and 15%. What would you tell investors for the Memphis market? What would your...
Well, you know, everybody's going to have their different performers of what they think vacancy is going to be. If you're in a low-income, 695 Fraser-type area, I'd say use 15% as maintenance. I'm sorry, not maintenance, vacancy. And some of the higher-end properties like Bartlett, Mary's in Cordova, Arlington, Lakeland, I personally use 5%, and I tell my investors they could use 5%, because what we're seeing is it's not hard to get to your leases. When the leases are up, they're re-signing. So if you get a tenant to stay in one house for 2 years and you re-rent that house in 60 days and they get another tenant to stay there for 2 years, that vacancy rate is somewhere like 3.5% or 4%. So I think 5% for the better areas, 8% to 9% for those mid-class, and 15% for the junk.
I would absolutely agree. Now, being a licensed property management company, with your leasing team, are they licensed real estate agents?
No and yes. We've got one that is and one that is not. But they don't have to be licensed, because we're licensed as a real estate and working under a broker. So they don't have to be licensed. The other one is. But, come to think of it, I don't know why the other one isn't, or, you know, why the other one is. But we've got one of the two agents are, but, you know, we got a broker for our property management company, and I think that takes care of all that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is for investors who are long distance, how are they able to monitor their account? Do you guys use how does somebody see their account? Do you use an online software or anything like that?
Yeah, and that's almost necessary for what we do. If I said I had a bunch of investors here locally, maybe that's not as important, because we have investors all over the country and really all over the world. We've got a 365 24/7 software called Buildium, and the investors could find out, you know, if it's the first, they could check in the first and say, oh, rent had been paid. They could check the second, rent had been paid. The third, oh, great, rent was paid. They could check if the rent wasn't paid. We'll type in some notes saying, all right, today's the fifth, tenant's coming in on the sixth. So anytime we get any information about the property, whether it's maintenance, vacancy, anything that we feel that's relevant, we just type in a note. And that investor could see that note. He could see his expenses at the end of the year. He could print off everything for his, and it's during tax time. It's very easy. So they could log on anytime they want. There's an app on their phone. So it's makes it extremely easy to be in tune. But the thing is, if we've got it, not everybody uses it. So I encourage anybody that, whether you're managing with us, learn how to use the software. It'll make your life a lot easier. It'll make your time more efficient, not having to always email the property manager and, you know, waiting. You know, a lot of times some of the emails we answer, we're so busy during the day that, you know, our email responses come, you know, somewhere between 8 and 10 o'clock at night.
And they can definitely get in there 24 hours a day.
Do it themselves. And I'd say 90% of the questions our investors ask, they can be found online. But, you know, if you don't want to learn it, you know, some people just don't want to learn anything new. We've got some investors that are 70 years old and they don't want to learn it. Give me a call. I mean, we're a service-based business. We got a individual that's starting next week that'll be an investor coordinator, and she'll be able to be that resource in case you don't want to look online yourself.
That's fantastic. Now, recently I caught wind, and I don't know if the story is true or not, so I can't say yes or no on this, but I've heard that there was another small local management company where supposedly the owner ditched town and took the tenant's money and things like that. Now, obviously, those are rare instances, but what would your suggestion or thoughts be to investors who are looking for management company? How would you suggest to the listeners out there to screen a potential management company to find out if they're a good fit for each other?
Sure. Unfortunately, Kurt, you've heard of one this week. I've heard of four. We just heard of another one going bankrupt today. We talked to it, and it's almost unbelievable. We talked to another investor today that swapped their management to us. He can't get his money from the old property manager. And then there was one, the fourth one this week is a similar situation. We sold an individual property. Her last management wasn't any good, and she's bringing it over, and I think the money's gone. And I've heard these instances. So it could definitely happen, but it doesn't have to. A little due diligence, and you don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of snakes in real estate, and you got to learn how to, you know, distinguish between the people you want to do business with. So to answer your question, the first thing you want them to do is make sure they're licensed. They're a licensed property management company with the state of Tennessee. They have a real estate agent in their office, which we do, Bendel and Craig, my wife. They work under a broker, which our broker is Melissa Bardoff, who works out of, God, I don't even know what the name of the real estate agency is. It's in Oakland, Tennessee. So you've got a broker, you've got an agent, you're licensed. I would ask for some sort of insurance the property management company keeps. We keep general liability. We also have workers' comp, which is, you know, not very relevant to the investor owner, but a general liability policy is. And then I'd go online. I mean, two of the people today that had bad reputations that we know that have skipped town, or maybe not skipped, they're not paying rents. Simple Google search, and I found that other people were having the same problems. Call a closing attorney. Ask them who, if they sell a property, who their closing attorney is. Just ask for references. You know, when people ask for references, I get the president of the bank that I bank at. I give our closing attorney, and of course, all the credentials of insurance and being licensed.
And like I say, you know, I've heard of two instances in the last few months, and if you've heard four, I mean that you know
that's four this week.
That's very troubling.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if there's some sort of correlation. I'm trying to figure it out because four in one week it's really unusual. And I just don't know I don't know if these guys used to sell property and then they can't sell property anymore. And they're robbing the Peter to pay Paul eventually. You know, that gravy train is done, but you know, it doesn't have to happen. I would make sure, like I said, you know, do your due diligence and talk with your property manager, see how long they've been in business. And, you know, ask them a simple question of what is your business plan? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, somebody should be able to effectively answer that. No problem whatsoever.
I totally agree. You know, one question that I thought about that I wanted to ask you, and you know, it probably would have been a little more appropriate for me to ask a little earlier in the interview, but it comes down to advertising. A lot of investors, you know, though they have hired a management company like yourself to basically do everything for them, mm-hmm. a lot of them still kind of like to be in the know what's going on. How are you advertising my property? What are some of the avenues that you're doing for advertising, and what are some of the most effective ways?
Yeah, you know, advertising is a big deal. There's a vacant home. You know, it's like being a real estate agent. You know, you go sell your house, and then some agents, all they do is put a sign in the yard. Well, there's property management companies that do the same thing. The only thing they do is put a sign in the yard. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we were real curious because we always did the sign in the yard and the directionals pointing into the neighborhood. And then we did an online marketing. But we always wonder, what is the number one way that people come to find the properties. And so we put on an application, how did you find us? 70% of it was online, most of it being Craigslist. So we've decided to, we still do the signs in the yard and the signage and the arrows pointing to the house, but we really vamped up our Craigslist marketing. We've started doing some really high-res pictures, wide-angle lenses. So if you think about it, and you're looking online, anybody go to any market, go to Craigslist and look at the rents, look at some of the pictures on there, and some of them just looks like, oh my God, I want to move into that dump. You know, it's a terrible picture. The house isn't painted. The door's falling off. So we decided to just take really good pictures, you know, and market the property, because, I mean, that's the first thing you see is the pictures. And we've recently started doing that. We rented out more properties than we ever have in January. So online's big. Of course, our property management company syndicates out. Property management software syndicates out to Trulia, Zillow, Hotpads, Backpage, and all that other stuff. So, you know, we get leads from Trulia and Zillow and all of that. But the Craigslist marketing is very effective for us. The way we market and word the marketing paragraphs, again, the pictures, and then leasing agents. Leasing agents are a valuable resource. If you've got good leasing agents, they'll help you out a ton. And, you know, just like if you have bad leasing agents, they're worthless, but we've got two really good ones.
What would you say the overall percentage is of Memphians who rent? If you had to take it out of 100%, what would you say the population? I've heard people say it's anywhere in the 45% range, which is a very, very high number. What are your thoughts?
I think the last census, 2010 report, says something like 45 to 46%. That trend is probably going up. FHA guidelines have been harder, or the underwriting guidelines are harder. I think the down payment's more. The overall requirements to buy a house are just a tad bit harder. So the aspects of the Dodd-Frank bill and over-regulating by our government is creating a need for more rental property. So I imagine that number is probably closer to 50, if not higher. But and this is maybe a different podcast, but I'm going to just throw out my conspiracy theory of hedge funds bought all this property. They were given money available to go out and purchase large amounts of foreclosed property, get that inventory off the market, makes it look like the housing market's coming back strong. Then all of a sudden, it's harder this year, 2014, to buy a house. So Wall Street's got to make money on these rentals. What's the best way to make money? Have more renters. So that's my conspiracy theory, that somehow the government knew that, hey, look, we can look good if we let these hedge funds buy up all the inventory, and we'll make it harder to buy a house, and then they'll rent houses, and, you know, government wins, hedge funds win, and I guess if you're a property manager, we win too, but once again, Main Street getting hosed.
So would you say then that with the high percentage of Memphians that are renters, that's good for investors because there's more people looking to rent good property?
Absolutely, yeah. If there's harder to get a house and there's more demand for rentals, so yeah, absolutely.
What would your prediction be if you could look at down the road, say maybe 5-10 years? What do you see happening in the Memphis market regarding property management? As far as, do you still see the percentages staying high for number of renters? Do you see rents going up or going down in the future?
Well, you know, historically, rents have always gone up, just the nature of inflation. Hard to look into a 10-year crystal ball. And we're talking, you know, another presidential election and, you know, 4 or 5 elections of Congress and Senate. So but we're looking at 5 years. A lot of these hedge funds are holding on to property. Interest rates will naturally go up, making the buying power of individuals lower. So I think there's going to be a demand for rentals for a long time.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, you being a investor and owning your own property as well as myself, I personally can't buy enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, now is the time to buy. Rates are coming up, but still, I don't know when you bought all your properties, Kurt. I bought mine, you know, most of them in 2007, 2008. The cheapest interest rate I got on any of that was 7.5%, and I still cash flow. Nothing like what guys are getting cash flow. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, people were getting $450 a month cash flow. Now, $375 to $400 is still great. You know, I was happy when I got $250 a month cash flow on my properties.
When I bought my first two back in 2008, rates at that time were 6.75%, yeah. And my cash flow isn't the greatest on those, but they're still cash flowing. And just like you said, 2 years ago, I was getting interest rates in the low fours,
yeah,
on rental property, and you know, you almost contemplate, should I refinance those? But yeah, I just haven't done anything on it yet.
Yeah, you know, refinancing is expensive. You know, you might have to come out of pocket with a little bit more money to do the refi. So, you know, our investors have asked that bought, you know, 3 and 4 years ago, or I'm sorry, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when rates are a little bit higher. And I said, look, if you got to refinance five properties, take that money and go buy another property. You know?
Absolutely. Well, listen, Alex, we're kind of rounding down our interview here. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts regarding property management? Any final thoughts that you would like to put out there?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of thoughts, but you know, if you're thinking about getting into the business, you know, your property management is the most important part. I mean, you could buy a property, and who you buy the property for is important too. Don't get me wrong, but the management side is there. That's what's managing your property for years down the road. So, you know, who you buy the property from is, like I said, it's important. But you could order appraisals and inspections, and you could get all that stuff fixed and ironed out before you sign on the dotted line. But once you sign on that dotted line, that property is yours, and the management becomes extremely important. So do your due diligence on the property management, and that'd be my final thought.
Give us your contact info. What's the website address? Where can people find CB Properties?
www.cbpropertiesmemphis.com, email info@cbpropertiesmemphis.com. So if you go to it today, the site's pretty plain. It's kind of a stock website that comes with the software. Over the next 60 days, we're going to be improving the website, probably launching a YouTube or TV station type website. So I've got a lot of marketing ideas that I can't wait to get on.
Well, listen, Alex, we really appreciate you having you on today, and we look forward to talking with you in the future. That will be it for Investor Talk Radio today. I am your host, Kurt Davis. We will see you in the next episode.
This show was produced by Kurt Davis and KurtDavisOnline.com. All rights reserved. To reach Kurt Davis, you can find him on the web at www.KurtDavisOnline.com or email him at Kurt@KurtDavisOnline.com. Everything you heard on this show should not be taken as personal or professional advice. You should conduct your own due diligence. Opinions or comments of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Kurt Davis or KurtDavisOnline.com.